have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21. We are talking today about the ghost of Christmas past. Ghost of Christmas past. And it's going to seem like this really doesn't fit with the Christmas theme. Most times at Christmas, we talk about the powerful story of Jesus being born in a manger, being a virgin, coming from a virgin, and coming to save the world from our sins. But today I want to talk about something special that the baby Jesus really brought and what he really tried to do, and how things, we've been talking about how things in our past can affect our current Christmas. And so we are in the second and final week of a series called The Ghost of Christmas Past. And what we're doing is that we're talking about perhaps some things from the past that have followed us, haunted us, and paralyzed us from living the life that God really wants us to live. Today's message, I believe, is a special message that will come to you in a way that could really provide some strong internal healing for you during this holiday season when it comes to your identity. And we're going to talk about overcoming the labels that have so attached themselves to us, overcoming labels that we often wrongly believe about ourselves and how they impact the way we see ourselves moving into this next year. I believe if we can grab hold of this message today, that there will be a freeing for you as you enter your Christmas day, that you'll see God in a new way, you'll see yourself in a new way, and your next year will be completely different. So I think this is important, and it does fit with the message of baby Jesus. I'll explain in a minute. Somebody say amen. All right. Let's read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. If you have a Bibles, I hope that you've already turned there. Lift your Bibles, your electronic devices high in the air. We're going to read our Bible affirmation and then say our scripture together. Somebody say yes. Come on. I love Ethan. Ethan's talking to me today. Go on, baby boy. And he stops. All right. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen, amen, amen. All right, Proverbs 18, 21, only one verse for you today. All right, you ready? Here we go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know what? That was the shortest reading we've done in a long time. I think we should read it again, just to make some of y'all who read a lot feel like you did something in church. Ready? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Father, I thank you for the word today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we talk about the ghost of Christmas past and dealing with labels, that you'll begin to do an internal work of healing like none before. May healing take place today that will absolutely transform Christmas and next year for those that are in this room. Move me aside, Holy Spirit. You come in, you have your way, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, remove the label. Remove the label. I'm not talking about the labels, you know, you get on the back of your t-shirts. Y'all ever see? You know what? Those are some frustrating labels. I thank God for Hanes. Hanes has gotten rid of labels and just written inside their t-shirts what they are. But every time I put on clothes and I look in the back, the tag is always out. I don't know what it is about my body that causes the tags to flip out. But we're not talking about removing labels like that. We're talking about removing labels over our lives and in our minds. I want to talk to you about the power of words. Words have the power to create. As a matter of fact, when God created the earth, he used words. Words have the power to heal. When Jesus brought healing, he spoke words and people got healed. Words have the power to shape. Words have the power to motivate. On the negative side, though, words have the power to hurt. Words have the power to wound. Words have the power to discourage. Words have the power to destroy. In fact, many of us have heard, you know, people say, well, it's just words. It's only words. It's not that big a deal. And some of y'all even grew up hearing this phrase, what? Sticks and stones, mate, can you say it with me? Breaks my bones, but words will never harm. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard spoken in my life. That sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Words hurt. And people are not careful with what comes out of their mouths, so they say stuff and it hurts other people. As a matter of fact, words can sting you a whole lot longer than a stick or a stone ever could. Because you can get hit by a stick and get bruised, and in about a week, the bruise is gone. But the words that have been said to you have stuck with you all of your lives. What are you talking about? There are words that people have said to you like, you're not very bright, are you? You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? Those words have stuck with us. And Proverbs 18:21 tells us this, that the power of life and death happens in your tongue. Words can build or words can destroy. And here's the catch. When you hear something over and over and over again, it becomes true for you. Where it used to be hard to believe that you would even think that about me, now I just instantly believe it. Maybe I said to myself when I was younger, I'm not good at math. How many of y'all feel like you were never good at math? Raise your hand. Now ask yourself the question, how early did you hear that in your life? About 90% of the room raised their hand when I said who wasn't good at math. How early did you hear that in your life? Maybe around first or second grade when you didn't get the same math grade as little Johnny or little Susie. And you sat there and somebody said, well, man, math is hard. How many people told you over and over and over again how hard math was? I never will forget when I was in college. I graduated from high school and I had a 5.0 on a 5.0 scale, so I had a perfect GPA. And I graduated from high school. That didn't mean I got straight A's, but that's another story. I got close to them. When I graduated from high school, I went to one of the top schools in the nation. I went to Northwestern University. It was top number 9 in the nation at the time. Went to school in engineering. And here I sit in a room with not just one, but everybody in the room had those kinds of grades. Which meant all of us had the same potential to do great. But I sat in a room, and we had a special summer program for African-American students. And because they were having trouble retaining engineers who were African-American, so they brought us up early to get us indoctrinated to campus. One of the best things that ever happened to me. But during that time, we had the upper class, the juniors, the sophomores, some going to be seniors, who were our counselors telling us, you're lucky if you get a C out of this class. This class is hard. You know, if you can just carry a 2.5 here in engineering, you're doing something. And then on the backside of that, my brother went to Georgia Tech, and he was in engineering. And my brother, he graduated with a 2.2. And what was funny was he said, I know I knocked that out the park. I finished. The goal was finishing. The goal was never that you can get A's or B's in school. So guess what? My expectation was so low. Because the words that I heard from the moment I stepped on the campus was that I'll never get higher than a C in many of my classes. So in all of my engineering classes, for the most part, I got C's, maybe one or two B's. And everybody in the group, most of us had that kind of a GPA. There were very few who had above a 3.0. If you had a 3.3 and you were an African-American engineering, they thought you were amazing. And they said it was because we were African-American. No, it was because we were told words that we end up believing. There was absolutely no basis for it. How many times have you been told words that you never, there is absolutely no basis for that. To tell a child that math is hard when they are 5 is there's no basis for that. Because you've never given the child a chance to learn to do the math. To tell you you're not smart enough, there's no basis for that because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I find myself fighting this even with my own children. Even though I tell them over and over and over again, you can do this. You can do all things through Christ. You know what? It is an internal word that also hits people. Where now it's maybe not so much that mom told you or dad told you, but maybe you've told yourself. And it's stuck and you keep hearing it. So much so that you can only live up to the expectation of the word that you have put in your mind. We actually struggle because when that happens, we begin to put labels over ourselves about who we are and about what we can do. And these are labels that we have picked up from our past. We pick up a label that says, I'm not good at math. We pick up a label that says, I'm not smart. We pick up a label that says, I'll never be enough. We pick up a label that says, I will never have a good marriage. We pick up a label that says, I will never be able to make a certain amount of money. We pick up all of these labels and we pick up labels about our bodies and about our self-image. I'll never be able to look like that. I'll never be pretty. We pick up all these labels and attach them to ourselves. And we struggle in the current moment because of labels that we've wrongly owned from things that have happened in our past. Maybe somebody said something about you at one time and called you something, belittled you, made you feel less than, and you internalized this label. Maybe you did something. Maybe it's something that was true. And you did it years and years and years ago, but you can't seem to get over the guilt of it. Internally, you own that action and connect your identity with something that you did in your past. I don't know what the label might be this Christmas, but certainly there are those of you who've owned some labels that God never wanted you to own. We've owned labels of being lazy. You're just a lazy person. You know, you're just an average student. You're just an average worker. You're never going to amount to much at all. You're just insecure. You're so insecure. Ooh, you hot-headed. You're hot-tempered. You lose your cool all the time. You're so sensitive. You're annoying. You're pathetic. You're always bad at a relationship. How about this one? You're just too much. It's just, I can't handle all that. Whatever you are, there's just too much of it. So dial it back, tone it back a little bit. And what happens is we own those labels. Some of you, you might own the idea that you're the black sheep of the family. You might own that you're just, your family just is dysfunctional and they're going to always be dysfunctional. You put a label even on your family. Some of us have put labels on our children. They just ain't the brightest. We don't want to say that. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I like Facebook because of the opportunity to reach people all over the world, but I hate Facebook because Facebook shows you everybody's grades and GPAs that got a 4.0. But don't nobody pull up their 2.1 kid's GPA like, look how good my kid did. You know why? Because we want to keep a facade up and keep a label that we're great parents and that we're doing a great job. When in essence, many of us are struggling and trying to figure out, how do I help my child realize who they are? How do I help my child become the best that they can be? But we want to keep showing everybody else a label. When in actuality, there are things that are broken. I see this all the time. I see people, they have these beautiful happy 20th anniversary. And you're like, oh, good for them. Oh, I'm so excited for them. Yay, woo. And then a year later, we're getting a divorce. Our family is broken. And some of us have an internal mindset that we're lucky if we can make it 5 years in a marriage. Some of us have a mindset that we're never going to be happy at Christmas because Uncle So-and-so is just awful. And he coming over. Some of us have a mindset that we'll never be able to have a deep, intimate, real relationship with anyone. Let's be honest. Sometimes when we internalize a negative label, there are times when there are truth, some truth to it. Now, this is going to hurt a little bit. In other words, if someone says you label, if someone says you're lazy and you own that label, you might not actually be the most motivated person in the world. You might be a little slow to foot on stuff. So y'all don't know what slow to foot mean, do you? Means you're lazy. You slow to move. Some people call you a hothead. Well, you are quick to cuss people out. There is some truth to that. There might be some truth to the label that you've embraced, and that's what makes it so hard because you see some truth in it, so you put the label on yourself, and that's what you begin to believe. And you look at the experiences of your life that prove, okay, I'm not good at math. Look at the F I got on this test. Okay, I am a little hot-tempered. Look at how I cuss somebody out. Okay, I am awful in relationships. Look at how many relationships I had that have broken and have never been good, and you own that. But let me say this to you. What's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. What's true about you now does not have to be true about you later. You need to internalize that statement. Write that one down. Let me say it again. What is true about you now does not have to be true about you later. All right, I'm a little plump now. I get that, but that don't have to be my truth later. Y'all ain't hear it. Y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all, no, this just, I'm telling you, these are things I've dealt with internally on my own. Oh, I'm just going to be, whew, I seen my aunts. I know where this is headed. Don't nobody do that? Yep, that's my future right there. Good people, wonderful ladies. I have to be careful because sometimes my aunts listen to the podcast. I love you, aunties. I'm talking about the ones on the other side of the family, not you. What's true about you now does not have to be true about you later. Feel that. Believe it. Embrace it. God's power is so much bigger than your past. His grace is stronger than any label that anyone could ever put on you. What's true about you now does not have to be true about you later. If you've embraced some hurtful, negative labels that paralyze you, hold you back, hold you down, tell you that you're less than, if you've embraced that type of label today, I want to encourage you to do something. And this is the first thing I want you to grab, because if you can get this, you can begin to overcome the labels. Here's what I want you to do. If you have some negative thing in your past, I want you to name it something different. I want you to name it something different. I'm going to show you in scripture how powerful this is. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 35, because I'm going to show you this really cool story about a guy named Jacob. I'm going to give you a little backstory. Jacob was a guy who ended up going into this area looking for, you know, he had kind of ran away from his brother because he had done some dirty stuff. But he comes up and he finds this farmer and he sees this girl. Her name is Rachel. And Rachel is banging. I mean, Rachel is fine. She was, the Bible called her very beautiful. And Rachel was a good looking woman. But Rachel had a sister. Her name was Leah. Now, Leah, interestingly enough, let me tell you how the Bible describes Leah so you don't talk about me and say, Pastor, you being mean. The Bible says that Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. And then it talks about her sister and it says, and there was Leah. And the Bible says her sister had weak eyes. The Bible didn't say the woman needed glasses. The woman said she had weak eyes. For y'all who don't know what that means she was cockeyed. Y'all don't know what that means? That means she had cross eyes. So here we go, Rachel, beautiful, banging, gorgeous girl. Her sister, which was her older sister, Leah, was cockeyed. That's why I said I had to tell you that because y'all would thought I was being mean. But let me tell you how that is interpreted in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's interpreted Rachel was lovely in form and figure, and her sister just had a really good personality. This is kind of tough. So Jacob, he's all like, I got to have Rachel, I got to have Rachel, I got to have Rachel. He don't really care about her older sister, Leah. And so he goes to the father and says, look, I want your daughter. I'll do whatever it takes to get your daughter. And the dad says, fair enough, work for me for 7 years. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brothers. If you're willing to work for a woman for 7 years, you crazy about her. Because here's what he did. He didn't try to negotiate. He didn't say, I'll do it a year. He'll say, 7 years, no problem. Let's get it done because I want that. He works for 7 years, and then it's the night of the wedding. And, you know, for them back then, you wouldn't really see the bride. You know, today we see you walking down the aisle, and you're like, oh, that's amazing. No, for them, you know, their ceremony, they do something, then they just put you in a room, and then they send the bride in with the face covered, and then you consummate the marriage. So in the morning, he woke up, and the Bible says, and there was Leah. Jacob was like, now let me tell you something. He wanted her so bad, he didn't even take time to look and see what he got. He was like, 7 years, girl, let's go. Then he goes back and he said, wait a second. This the cockeyed one. This ain't the one I wanted. So he goes back to the father and he says, look. You tricked me. And the daddy said, all right. But see, tradition says that you have to marry the first daughter, have to get the first daughter married first. Now, I would have been Jacob like deuces. You fool me, take you and your cockeyed daughter, I'm out of here. But you know what he did? He said, I love her so much, I'll work for her for another 7 years. 14 years he works to marry his absolute phenomenal dream girl. I thought, 14 years? She kept her figure for 14 years? Gone, Rachel. Rachel was a bad girl. So, you know, that he gets his dream girl, and they want to have a little house with a picket fence, a couple dogs, and, you know, a couple kids here and there, you know, and they got the dogs, but they couldn't have the kids. And for years, they couldn't conceive. And Jacob was sad, and Rachel was sad, and they were desperate, and they were absolutely broken. And Rachel was beside herself because she kept comparing herself. My sister's got all, because, you know, he kept laying with Leah, and Leah kept, every time, you know, it's funny, was God was like, she might be ugly, but she fertile. Every time he laid with her, she had a baby. Whereas he would lay with the one he loved, and he would not have a baby. And so they, you know, Rachel and Jacob looked at each other, and they kept trying to get pregnant. They tried everything they could. They couldn't see it. And finally, after years of agony, they gave birth. And they gave birth to a son named Joseph. And then she was like, look, this is good, but I want another one. And the Bible says that she got pregnant with her second child, but the second pregnancy didn't end very well for Rachel. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16 tells this very sad story. That it says this, Genesis 35, 16. It says, then they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And Rachel labored in childbirth. She had hard labor. You know, labor was difficult for her. She's in trouble. It's tough. You know, they didn't have C-sections back then, where they can take the baby out and make life a little easier. We don't know what the exact issue was, but we do know that she was in big trouble because it said she had hard labor. And verse 17 says, now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. Verse 18, and so it was as her soul was departing, this is Rachel, the woman that Jacob had worked 14 years to get, waited all those years to have a baby. She died in childbirth. But before she died, the Bible says that she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. Her life is in imminent danger. She's having great difficulty, hard labor. The midwife says and starts comforting her, look, don't worry, you're going to have another son. And yet she knows she's about to die. She is in sorrow. And she looks at her son. She holds her son. And she names him Ben-Oni. Now what's funny is Jacob looks at the boy and calls him Benjamin. Somebody say, you got to name it something different. I want to show you this. This is important. Rachel named her son one thing, but the father called him something else. Names are so important. Anytime you are naming children, you should really look and see what the name means. Because I want to tell you some of the names that are coming out of this generation. They are exceptionally creative. I actually looked up and found some of the most unusual names that I've ever seen. But there are some that are becoming a lot more common. And they were used multiple times in this last year. And I'm going to tell you what they are. You ready? One name is spelled A-A-R-R-O-W. Arrow. Like Aaron, but Arrow. It's a common name. Bobo is apparently becoming pretty common. These are boy names. Miggy, M-I-G-G-Y. Turgle, T-E-R-G-E-L. And I kid you not, this one I see all the time, Blade. I say, tattoo that on your arm, Blade. Like, it just seems weird, right? You're like, I'm going to kill somebody. Okay, here's some very weird girls' names I saw. This one's spelled F-R-O-O-T-I. Fruity. What in the world? No pressure on that little girl. I've heard names like Lemongelo. It's spelled Limongello. That's a good one. And then here's probably the worst one ever. It's L-A hyphen A. Ladasha. What's funny is somebody already knew what it was. That's how common it is. I thought it was La. Like you have to hold a La. Like it's a note, la. No, her name is Ladasha. How do you write that on an application? But back to our text. I just thought, this is how important names are. So when you name your child, just think about, or can they get a job with this name? Y'all don't want to talk about that. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. All right, so back to our text. Verse 18 says, watch this. As Rachel breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son. What did she name him? Ben-Oni. But his father named him Benjamin. What does Ben-Oni mean? Ben means son. Ben means son, and Oni means sorrow. She named her child Son of My Sorrow because she knew she was dying. Was that absolutely true? Yes. Was it completely understandable? Yes. Why? Because she knew she was going to die. Ben-Oni, Son of My Sorrow. She knew she was never going to get to feed her son. She knew she was never going to get to watch him take his first steps. She knew she was never going to get to enjoy watching her child grow up. And in that moment, she names him what is very true for her for that situation, which is, I'm holding my son. I'm bleeding to death. I know I'm about to die. I take my last breath and I call him Son of My Sorrow. When you think about it, Rachel couldn't have been the only one grieving. Who else was grieving? The man who had worked 14 years for her, who had labored and watched her want to have a child, couldn't have a child, then have the first child, ask for a second child, and get to the point where her dreams are becoming a reality and see that she is about to die. He's hurting like crazy. But when the wife that he treasured called his son, Son of My Sorrow, he took the boy and he said, no, 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 no. I'm going to name it something else. What may be true in this moment won't be true forever. The father took what was and he named him something else. If you don't like the label you've been given, name it something different. Let the Father in heaven take what your enemy called you and name it something different. She says, this is Son of My Sorrow. He says, no, 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 no. We're going to call him something else. What's interesting is Jacob actually had some experience in renaming. In fact, Jacob was the one who, there was a story that said at one point he wrestled with God all night long, or an angel. We don't really have the details of knowing which one. It's either an angel or we call him God. But Jacob wrestled all night. He endured at the end of it. And at the end of the night, he tells God, bless me, because I survived this. Bless me. And God looks at him. And here is what God did. He said, your name was Jacob, which means deceiver. You used to be a deceiver. Watch this, come on. But now I'm going to change your name and I'm going to call you Israel, which means my God prevails. Jacob understood the power of a name. He walked around for years being called deceiver because he tricked his brother out of his birthright. He was called deceiver, but when he met with Almighty God and he wrestled with God, God says, that is no longer who you are. I'm changing your name and I'm taking you from deceiver, come on, to my God prevails. He looked at it. He looked at that baby and he said, no, no, no. You're not going to be called Son of My Sorrow. He said, I'm going to call you Benjamin. You know what Benjamin means? Ben meaning son. Son of my right hand. Now, you need to understand something. If you know anything about Old Testament names or history, the right hand was the symbol of blessing. He says, you are my son. You are son of my right hand. You are the son of blessing. Mama said you are son of sorrow, but I call you a son of blessing. What the enemy meant for evil, God said, I'm going to turn it around and do something good with it. I know there's some truth in the labels that you have over yourself, but you need to look at it and you need to name it something different. What others would call a curse, I'm going to call this boy a blessing. What others would call sorrow, I'm going to call him a blessing from the Lord. Some of you had children out of wedlock and you've been calling those kids bad names all along. You need to stop that and you need to give them a brand new name. That is not, tell them, that is not who you are. That might be some truth, but that ain't who you are. You might want to write this one down too, because this is important. You don't get to choose what comes into your life, but you do get to choose what you call it. You don't get to choose what comes in your life, but you do get to choose what you call it. It may look like the son of my sorrows, but I'm going to look at you and I'm going to call you the son of my right hand. If there's a label that you've embraced and you don't like it, call it something different. Remember, God's power is bigger than your past. What may be true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. Yeah. Look here. People laugh at me. I'm so glad that we are all adults except for Ethan. And Ethan is like 2, so it don't matter. Well, he won't get the understanding, but I when I was in college, I had a lot of fun. Maybe more fun than necessary. And while other people maybe had a different label for me, I had one for myself because I was so open. All right, it's just us, right? So I was a hoe. That was my label. That's what I call myself. That's what I said about myself. And it didn't matter what other people said, if other people believed it or not. No, that's not you. No, I call myself a hoe because I knew what God's will was and I knew I wasn't living in God's will. So I was like, based on scripture, that means I'm a hoe. And in that moment, I was a hoe. But watch this. What may be true about me now don't have to be true about me later. I had to change the name I call myself, and I started calling myself holy and righteous, fearfully and wonderfully made. I said, I am a child of God. I am a princess. I am not. Look, I love this statement. I'm a hoe no more. I am changed. I'm transformed. God has done a work in me. That was my past. That is not my future. I'm a different woman. So much so that I remained celibate for 5 years before I got married to my husband. And you know where the label changed? Up here, when I called it something different. I'm not a hoe no more. I'm a hoe no more. So I might have looked at it like I was a hoe, but that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that, you know, that might have been the moment where I had my greatest strength. Because I didn't do a whole lot more. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And Christ used that time to change me. And you know what? I start looking at that period and I start saying, God, you took me through it so that I can be a blessing to help somebody else who's struggling, who is a Christian. Look, watch this. I was saved as all saved could be and still doing dirt. So God took me through that so that I could take that and stop saying, you know, oh, I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. No, I ain't ashamed no more. I don't mind telling you about my past because my past was my past, but it was not my future. I changed it. God took something different and did a work in me, and he's using it as my testimony to help somebody else realize that what you used to do don't have to be what you do forever. If you don't like the label that's been put on you, name it something else. I promise you, you will grow into what you name it. You will grow into it. You're like, but it's not true. I can't say that about myself. It won't be true till you start speaking it enough that you believe it, and then you start acting as if that is your new belief. You'll grow into it. Somebody say, I'm going to grow into that. Oh, yeah. I used to say when I got married, look, I don't know nothing about being a wife. And so I was like, I'm an awful wife. And my husband would be like, no, you know. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. And the Lord said, change that. You're an amazing woman of God. You got this. You'll grow into that. You might not be a good one now, but you'll grow into it. You'll get it, girl. When I got ready to have a baby, some of y'all were here when I was pregnant with Jeffrey. If you were around, I was so scared because I had never changed a child's diaper. I was like, I'm going to be an awful mother. And then I had to change the label. I'm an amazing woman of God. I'm an amazing mom. You know what? I grew into the label. You'll grow into the label. Stop saying who you are not and start changing the label and tell yourself who God says you are. And if you begin to do that, it's going to be hard at first to believe that. You need to tell yourself, I am special. I'm transformed. I'm made new. I'm a difference maker. I'm a world changer. I'm a child of God. Look, you might not believe it, but over time, you're going to grow into it. Come on, somebody. God will renew your mind to the point where you're going to grow into the label that you're putting on yourself. It may seem like it's lofty. It may seem like it's too good. It may seem like it's different, but you will embrace it if you tell yourself it long enough. Call it something else. Change the title. It's not a liability. You're an asset now. Somebody needed to hear that. Somebody begin to praise the Lord if you say, I need to call it something different. He said, this is not son of my sorrow. This is son of my blessing. I'm not going to take what it is. I believe God wants it to be something different. If you don't like what you've been given and what you've been called, name it something different. Somebody called you insecure? It's been something that you've been identified with way too long. Say, no, 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 no. I'm confident in Christ. I have everything in Christ I need to do everything that Christ has called me to do. Call it something different. Somebody say, you lazy? You say, no, no, no. Actually, I'm being transformed by him. I'm motivated to fulfill his divine call on my life. I wake up every day with divine purpose to use my gifts to make a difference in this world. Y'all don't hear me. Well, somebody's just like, I'm just going, I'm not that bright. No, no, I'm brilliant because God has made me able to learn. He's given me the gift of creativity. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is not, I might have got those grades, but that's not where my future's going to be. I'm going to do something different. Maybe I was awful in high school, but college is a whole nother story. I'm going to be a whole different person in college. I'm going to have my life together. Maybe I used to be like this. Maybe I used to be bad in relationships, but things are going to be different. Look, next time, I'm going to do this one right, and I'm going to be good. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to open up. I'm going to be real. We're going to make it. When I get married this time, y'all don't want to hear this. When I get married this time, it's going to last. You're a cheater. You're a loser. You're a failure. Nope, I'm forgiven. I'm transformed. I'm made new. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. You have cancer. You are a cancer patient. No, I'm not. I'm a cancer survivor. God has brought me out. This is not who I'm going to be. You're not going to be defined by the label of cancer on my life. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Watch this. The Bible says you overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Most people think that's the word of what's happened in the past. No, that's the word you're speaking over your life for your future. I'm going to overcome by the word of my testimony. Wait, I'm not broke. Look at this. I'm getting my finances together so that I will be prosperous in the future. No. You in debt? No, I'm not in debt. I'm coming out of debt. No, y'all don't want to hear that. I'm not in debt. I'm coming out of debt. But I see $100,000 in debt. No, I'm coming out of it. It was $100,000 today. It's $99,999 tomorrow because I paid a dollar off. I'm coming out of my debt. What are you saying about yourself? Oh, I've been unhealthy all my life. I won't be unhealthy. No. I'm a child of God. I'm made new. Come on, somebody. He says that he wants my soul and my body to prosper even as my soul prospers. So I'm going to be in health. Look, I'm not going to. Some of y'all be looking at old people and y'all like, ooh, one day when I'm in an old folks home. I don't even say that. I ain't going to be in no old folks home. In Jesus' name, I'm going to be walking, talking, still driving myself, dressing myself. I'm going to be 100 years old. I'm going to be like RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You ain't going to keep me down. Some of y'all don't know about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the oldest Supreme Court justice. About a month ago, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, first of all, they have videos of Ruth Bader Ginsburg out at about 83, 84 lifting weights. She a little old frail thing, look like, but she just be lifting weights, doing it. She got a personal trainer. I said, yes, RBG, that's me. Look, watch this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is so bad, she fell about a month ago, broke 3 ribs. Look, and 2 days later was back at work. 85 years old. And then when she broke her ribs, they found 2 masses of lung cancer. She went in over the weekend for them to take out the masses of lung cancer. You know what? She voted on a particular case before she went in to make, come on, she was still working. RBG is a bad girl. I said to myself, look, I'm going to be like that, but no cancer. I'm going to be like, look, who are you? You got to start speaking that stuff over yourself. Some of y'all say, well, this is a really bad season. No, this ain't no bad season. You're going to be all right. This is the season that God is changing you. He's transforming you into the image of Christ. He's shaping you. You learning how to persevere. You learning how to have faith. I know I'm going through. I ain't going through. I'm coming out. Because going through makes it seem like I ain't going to never come out. No, I'm coming out of this. When it looks like I'm being hurt, actually I'm being transformed on the inside. My spiritual roots are getting deeper. It may look like winter, but I'm going to tell you something. Every winter, spring always comes. I believe it. I can feel it. God is doing a divine work in me. You might say, I feel so alone right now. I'm totally dreading this Christmas season. I'm hurt. I feel alone. I ain't got nobody. You know what? God, you ought to change your words. God is actually drawing me closer to him. He's my strength. He's my identity. He's teaching me to depend on him, to fall in love with him. God is working on my love relationship with him. He's my comfort. I'm going to draw near to him, and he's going to draw near to me. You might say, I failed. I'm just a failure. It might be true. You have failed. You have failed at some stuff. But guess what? Another way of looking at it is I got some experience. Man, I learned so much from that. I'm growing. I had one of my clients who found out that he was losing his job because of his performance. And he was just really upset. He said, Shayna, I'm scared. I said, that's all right. He said, I've never lost at anything in my life. He said, I took a loss on this one. I said, I don't think you took a loss. I said, I think you got a chance to learn. You learned some areas where you suck. Now the question is, are you going to stay there? Or are you going to do something about it and never, ever, ever let this hit you like this again? And he said, I choose the latter. Because I'm going to tell you, we look at loss and we give up. That's not the end. Whenever your enemy calls you something you don't like, you name it something different. The reality is you have an enemy, Satan, who hates you. His mission is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to you and matters to the heart of God. Our enemy's a liar. He's the father of lies. And what he wants to do is tell you over and over again who you're not. You're pathetic. You're not an amounting thing. You can't make a difference. Those are the ghosts of Christmas past. And I want to tell you, we serve a Savior who came down from the throne to come and live for you so that he could change your name and call you something different. He doesn't call you lost. He calls you chosen. He calls you his child. He calls you the apple of his eye. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is what the baby Jesus brought for us. For some of us, he brought a name change. Come on, I need somebody to give him some praise. He brought a name change for you to tell you you are not who you thought you were. You are who I say you are. Come on, everybody, just give the Lord a hand. Praise. Stand to your feet. I'm gonna get you out of here. What's true in the moment doesn't have to be true in your future. What others call a curse, you choose to call a blessing. When the enemy names it one thing, you name it something else. All right, here's what I want to do today. Here's what I do today. If you're here today and you're saying, I've had some labels that I need to change, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. I don't need to know the label. I don't need to know what you said about yourself. I got my hands lifted even. The labels I put on myself about my health, about my finances, about relationships, about my abilities, my finances, about what I'm able to do. Come on, just lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, today I pray that by the power of your son, Jesus, that baby who came during Christmas time, that you would bring healing. And that, God, you would break the labels that have so many of us in bondage. I declare that the ghost of Christmas past, all those labels be gone in Jesus' name. And I release over us the ability to name it something different. I just want to ask, Lord, very lovingly, that you would touch the hearts of people that are here. That you would give them the courage to connect and change the label in their lives. Today, by faith, Lord, I pray that you would help them call it something else. Lord, we don't want to be what somebody else says about us. We don't want to be the result of the brokenness of our past. I hear right now that someone has held on to a label that their mother or their father has told them about themselves. And right now, in Jesus' name, I cancel that label. I declare that there is a new name. Lord, give them the new name. Remind them to call them something different. Remind them, Heavenly Father, that their past doesn't mean that's where they're going to be in their future. For those of you who are labeling, saying, I'm just sick and tired of internalizing all this and going through this, I need to be free from this, I want you to know that Jesus is like, I'm here. I'm here. May Jesus renew your mind, conform you to his image, so that you can please him in every single way. God, help us to take whatever lie we've been embracing and call it something else. God, help us to call it as you see it, because you are the source of truth. For those who say, I'm a mess, I'm pathetic, I'm this, I'm that, there may be some truth, but all of us are a mess. I pray, God, that you would turn that mess into a message. that you would transform. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise you. Come on and give the Lord a hand praise right now. Come on, if you got a new name, I want you to begin to praise his holy name. I'm not who I used to be. This Christmas, I'm changing the name. This Christmas, I'm something different. Thank you, Lord. Hey, if you're here today, and I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be difficult to maintain that new name unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, come on up. Our counselors are going to be here. Our prayer team is going to come up. At the end of service, just go talk to them. Tell them, hey, I want to do something different. I don't want to take this label into next year, and I'm going to need some help with that. I need Jesus to help me. If that's you, our team is here. And what I'll ask you to do is just at the end of service, just feel free to go up and talk to them. Approach the one that seems the most approachable for you, because we got a whole lot of people up. Let me pray for you. Look, let me say this first. This Christmas, you're going to see your family. And some of your family is going to remind you of some truths about your past. And they're going to put a label on you. When they do, remind them, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to name that something different. That might be true, but that's not who I am anymore. Wait, but I just saw you do it yesterday. Yep, that was yesterday. Today's a new day. That's not who I am anymore. And you change the labels. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you. I declare over you that this will be the best Christmas ever. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. Don't matter if it's the worst. I pray that it's the best. I pray that you will change your words. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. May you silence every ghost of Christmas past. And may you release over yourself the power of your future in Jesus Christ. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Give somebody a hug if you'd like prayer, or if you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with Jesus. Come on up. God bless you.